Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to call the Amador Air District Board of Directors to order. Let's get going here. We have a quorum.
I think so.
Would you like to introduce yourselves? Go down the row here. Everybody knows everybody.
John Coburn, absent because of...
Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Okay. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I need approval for the agenda.
I'll move.
Second? Did you get that? It was moved by Richard Forrester, and who was the second?
Tom Peters.
Okay. All of those in favor of approving the agenda, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Very good. Public matters not on the agenda. Discussion items only. No action to be taken. Any person may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of the Amador Air District Board of Directors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff or a committee for a report and recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. Please note there's a 5-minute limit. Any members of the public wish to speak? No? Okay. Administrative matters, minutes, review and approval of the August 15th board minutes as presented or revised.
Madam Chair, I have a couple of comments on the minutes.
Okay.
This is on the page 2, the item number 4, the EVC stations, about 5 or 6 lines down. It was also mentioned that in order for businesses to buy in, the district may consider paying... Change the next, well, let's just rewrite it to say this. May consider paying for installation costs, but would not be responsible for paying electricity and all liability on the unit.
Okay, so take out the 100%.
Right. Not be responsible for paying.
Not be responsible.
Steve, you want to put a clarification for the district would not be responsible?
Sure.
I think we did discuss possibility of the district paying 100%, though.
Yeah, but the thing is we also discussed other options.
That's right.
Other than 100%, and I didn't want to imply that that was the only option we considered. And I also have a couple of comments on item number 5 on page 3. I can read my writing here. Give me 1 second. Oh, yes. This is the smoke reduction bin program, second to the last line, which begins needles, parentheses, which do not decompose, insert, comma, have received oversized material and garbage, comma, and have no more room to take the amount of green waste that our program is bringing in. And then add a sentence that indicates Jim McCargie will bring more specific information back at a future meeting. That was direction from the board. For my only comments.
Did you get those changes, Herminia? The other suggested changes? I am looking for a board motion to approve.
Move to approve with those changes.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes as amended, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Item number two, electric vehicle charging stations. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon.
No, not yet. You'll know when it's on. We'll all know.
Gone.
Oh,
there we go.
What'd I tell you?
You're right. We know now. Good afternoon, Jim McCargue, Air Pollution Control Officer. This item is the electric vehicle charging stations, and we have discussed this, I believe, at least a couple previous meetings, and so staff was asked to bring back to this meeting some more information. And I just wanted to recap that this discussion originally came up in response to two inquiries from county residents who were asking about electric vehicle charging stations at two specific locations, the Amador County Superior Court and the County General Services Building Airport area. So we did do some research into installation costs, liability, ongoing maintenance, and electricity expenses. So these issues continue to be a concern, but we have looked at this as a potential pilot project. A pilot project that would be proposed as a one-time drawdown of some of the district's cash reserves, similar to what we did with the Pine Needle Bend program or wood stove change-out program, so that the funds would be utilized in a manner promoting the district's mission goals objectives, while at the same time going back to benefit the residents of the county. So I have just kind of a sketch of a draft pilot program, and it's for consideration of between 3 and 10 potential sites in the county, including up to 1 in each of the incorporated cities and up to 5 in the unincorporated county. And you have an attachment A to this memo, and it's a little deeper dive into the background information that was done by staff here at the Air District. Number two would be enter into an agreement with property owner of designated site for Air District to provide between 50 and 100% of the cost to install the charging station up to a maximum of $5,000 per project. Number three, property owner of designated site will sign an agreement that releases the Air District from all liability, and the owner will accept ongoing maintenance costs and electricity costs. Number four, Air District will not pay for costs to bring proposed site into ADA compliance. These costs, if they were to be necessary, would be borne by the property owner. And five, Air District will promote the electric vehicle site through public service announcements and exposure through advertising and dissemination of information through our local media outlets. So again, you've got an attachment here, and it does speak to some of the costs involved. And I know we discussed things as far as what is the cost of electricity, and it looks like a comparison using El Dorado Air District as an example with their charging stations. Each station is running at about $120 per year, or 33 cents per day. Then there's some additional information on potential locations in the county. There's a graphic map of El Dorado County, just giving you an idea of where theirs are located and how they illustrate where they are on a map on their website.
So the map's kind of small here, Jim. Is this all along the Highway 80 corridor? Is that what runs through El Dorado?
50. That's Highway 50.
Highway 50.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
One of those.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Sure. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain discussion or answer questions or see what the feedback is from the Board of Directors.
Yeah, I just did a back-of-the-envelope calculation. So just running seven stations based on their number for the amount of electricity is really about $833 a year. So not really, you know, the major.
And that could vary depending on how many people use it. You know, if it's used all the time, it never might go up quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to know if certain stations are, you know, the averages are much higher than others. But
I think, if I recall previous conversations on the matter, it wasn't so much the cost of the power, philosophy of subsidizing, giving, essentially charging at no cost general public, and I personally, I couldn't see a way forward using that that rationale.
It,
philosophy, not cost so much with the...
Well, I think the philosophy, the overriding philosophy is that we're an air district, so we're supposed to try to improve the quality of air and motor-driven vehicles off the road for electric vehicles. I mean, we could set a sunset, you know, do it for 10 years and then say...
You know.
Director Forrester.
A couple comments. I think first you have to find some willing partners. But I think the people that have put them in, especially up in Shenandoah Valley at the wineries, you could get some testimonials from those people that might help convince other people to do it and to buy into it. But a couple areas where I think you could get it done. You said Amador City would be difficult, but I think the Imperial Hotel, Marianne McCammett there, would be the one to talk to. You might be able to get her to buy into putting one there because a lot of her visitors come in, not just for the Imperial Hotel for dinner, but to stay there for lodging. So she may look at it and be very receptive to it. And I own Doug Knutson with a market, maybe, but I don't. Not sure he's going to buy into it just because people are not going to come from Sacramento to go to the market. He may look at it, though, but they are going to put in a new hotel at some point in Ione. It's being discussed right now. That would be an opportune time to work with the developers to put probably two sites in to the hotel. You might even want to talk to the golf course. Most electric vehicles aren't hybrids. Most aren't very big, but probably big enough to carry a couple sets of golf clubs, so they may be receptive to putting one in at the golf course.
You know, actually, this conversation made me think about something. We're talking about spare the air, save the air quality. I'm probably maybe getting off on a little bit of a tangent, but sometimes you got to do that. You want to really talk about what's been really a major effect in the air. I think and maybe as an air district, we should maybe be doing a little more lobbying, whether it's the National Forest or whether it's CAL FIRE or the governor, is look what's happened, Mendocino, Yuba, especially Napa, Sonoma. You want to talk about air quality. I mean, that probably blew the hell out of all the air quality stuff we've done and other air districts have done for the last 10 years. And I think our fuel loading and our fire readiness are probably way beyond anything the air districts have done. The carnage, maybe some of it may be impossible. Not impossible, stop, hard to stop, but I think with some proper fuel treatment and maybe people being more aware of the danger around their homes, and it's okay to cut a tree and a bush and to clean up our forest, we might be able to really do something for the air.
On the potential for putting it at a hotel in Ione, you might want to take a look at the new motel at Rancho Marietta and see if they included sites there. I would think they would have the charging sites there, but be a good one to look at.
I had a question about the lady at the Amateur Chamber of Commerce somewhere talked about that's be the what is second page of your memorandum at the very bottom.
Yes.
Because electric vehicle had operational limitations.
Yes, she chose a hybrid over a strictly electric. It's kind of interesting, actually, because her response didn't seem initially like there was a whole lot of concern either from her or from the chamber in pursuing electric vehicle charging station. And then by the end of the conversation with her, she mentions that she made a decision to purchase a hybrid instead of an electric because of what she felt like were a lack of electric vehicle charging stations in Amador County. So it's kind of like, a little contradictory, but that was her response.
I want to talk to the Amador Council of Tourism.
Okay.
Green Funk, because I think, you know, probably a bigger market, at least in the short term, are people driving up from the urban areas where they own these cars. But it is really the goal of a lot of this cap and trade legislation to get cars off the road and replace them with electric. Access cap and trade funds some way. Those monies are being collected. Offset some of this.
Director Axe is the liaison for our board to the Chamber of Commerce. I think you'd be better off getting on their agenda and speaking to them directly.
Okay.
Rather than have it was kind of secondhand the way it was done. I think if you present to them directly, you'll get a better feel for it.
Yeah, they might see the value to local businesses in particular in the Martell area, if a visitor is charging, they're kind of stuck, so they have to do something. So spending money is a good use of time.
So. Are we trying to establish that there's enough interest to warrant development of a program, or are we trying to decide whether we should develop this program in order to generate interest, where interest might be existing now, but the cost is putting people off? This may be an incentivizing program, and we may not know the true level of interest until this program is really in place and running. I think with the five cities, you suggested that you might offer to put one in each of the incorporated cities and then five in the unincorporated area. Personally, I think each of the cities will snap them up quickly. That's my own personal observation.
I think Sutter Creek probably would.
If Amador City doesn't want theirs, we'll be happy to take theirs. Sutter Creek. I think those will go in a second. The other five, I think, will go just as quickly. I really think the interest is going to be here. I think the real question is it the kind of program that the district feels is a good fit for the community, and does it represent forward thinking on our part? Question about that. Right. I'm a proponent of the program. I think it's a good thing.
Well, I am too, but especially as a pilot project. And, Jim, I'm a little unclear how much research you've done with these areas, the cities and so on.
We haven't dug in real deep. We went based upon the direction at the last meeting, and so contacted the Chamber of Commerce, have contacted neighboring air districts that have these programs, and looked at some of the cost and wrestled with the liability issues and the ongoing maintenance and electricity costs. And as a matter of fact, the way I have this written, number three, in my kind of draft of a pilot program, I actually say here that the owner will accept the ongoing electricity costs. So I wanted to be clear on that. If there was some different direction, we could discuss that. But I know that there was some concern about the air district being tied into long-term ongoing funding of electricity costs, what those might be. And so the way I'm proposing it is kind of like what the Shenandoah Valley wineries, they put them in because they want to provide a service or a convenience to their customers.
They want to draw.
Right. And so they'll pay the ongoing costs. And so my thought was, if we could kind of replicate that model, it would relieve the Air District of being locked into ongoing costs.
I like that approach.
Yes.
You know, looking at it from the perspective of one city, in Sutter Creek, we have three city-controlled parking lots. I can see a station in each one of those eventually. If the power costs are similar to what your research is showing, about $15 a month per unit, a rounding error budget, and to incentivize folks to come up and spend their money in the city, that's not even a blip on the radar. City, I think, I can't speak for the city council, but I can suggest that the city would probably strongly consider absorbing the cost of power.
I can see potential for interest everywhere. I mean, yes. Plymouth with Taste and all the activity going on there, I would think the city might buy into it with their parking lot.
I think they're putting one in at Rest, I believe.
Are they already?
I think so.
I heard that there was, one.
So, Jim, have you looked into solar at all to be tied in?
I don't think we've necessarily looked solar necessarily. No, haven't pursued that yet.
Jim, I only have one question. When I saw this El Dorado County and then trying to look at the stations compared to Amador, I would be more inclined to see what Calaveras is doing, because El Dorado's got a state of interstate highway running right through the middle of it.
Right.
So they probably have 20 times the traffic a day that we would.
Right.
I don't know if you had checked with Calaveras or even Tooele. They have 120, so.
Yeah, and Calaveras has four, and what else goes up?
But not like Highway 50.
Yeah.
But I don't want to spend money just because we got it.
Yeah.
If we had something that shows that it's going to work.
Yeah.
I think in the cities, I think the unincorporated areas would be the tougher question.
Yeah.
Where the flow would be, and maybe Calaveras could help you with that.
Yeah, we can spend a little more time. I think the problem with Calaveras is they had some staffing changes, and they had their air pollution control district was kind of lacking an APCO officer and staff. I think they just got someone in there recently, so I think they may have not done a whole lot on this, at least in the last several years, but we can touch base with them.
And they had other problems they had to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not related to cannabis, right. It doesn't get done in Calaveras right now.
Well, it at least provides a benchmark, an upper bound to what it would be in our district, Director Crew, because El Dorado is going to be, there's going to be many more users, so it's going to, upper bound to what would be possible here.
And,
there's a lot of people that drive those cars, and those kind of people are the kind that want to come up here for tourism. So,
those are the ones we want to come up here too, yeah.
I did do a little bit of research in the state of California. The estimate right now is that there's approximately 300,000 electric vehicles in the state. The state has a goal of 1.5 million by 2025, I believe, is the goal that they've set. So whether or not they get there, I'm not sure. I did some number crunching based upon the population in Amador County compared to the state of California, 30 million in California population, and we are 0.0013. So if we were to use that just as a comparison factor, it just kind of gives you an idea. They estimate there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 million plus or minus vehicles in California. So if we were to take our proportion of that, it kind of puts it a little bit into context. So there's, I guess the point of my comments are, there's not a ton of these out there in Amador County right now. There's not. Will there be more? I'm sure there will.
So.
And again, to take that by itself without considering the number of tourists that don't live here, you know, that would be coming and traveling through.
I was just trying to play with some numbers to come up with some sort of relation.
I think when electric cars can go 200 to 300 miles on a charge, then I think you're going to see a lot more people jump in. And then you could presumably go to the Bay Area and back on a charge like that.
I
would really research that because I got a friend of mine who's a supervisor in Contra Costa, and he hesitant to drive his car to Sacramento, and I'm thinking he thinks he's afraid he won't be able to find a charging spot open. I'll talk to him some more and vet that out a little bit with him. Really an advocate for electric cars, electric vehicles. I'm kind of in favor of, I don't know what the board feels, but I think just providing a stipend, it's got to be enough to get the site substantially close to being built. So I like your idea of just providing $5,000 with receipts, help people get the site
get it installed
architecturally ready to be built, and then put in place with the permits and everything else, and they cover whatever else is necessary, and then they cover the ongoing expenses and maintenance.
Question, what if they don't cover the insurance down the road? Are we then still liable?
Well, the way I have it written up here is we're going to have them sign some sort of waiver of liability.
Okay.
That's the way I would see it happening.
Did you pattern your recommendation after El Dorado County is doing there at the bottom of the first page of your staff report?
Bottom of the first page?
Yeah. Were those five bullet points there, were those based largely on what you found El Dorado County to be doing?
No, more so based upon, you know, the way we envision it kind of materializing here and basing it based upon the programs we've done before, which is the wood stove change out and the diesel engine swap out. We've had some success with those programs, so I'm trying to kind of configure it in that way more so.
So in your point number one, between 3 to 10 potential, and that's based on the demand that actually comes once it's announced that there is this pilot project?
Yeah, again, it would depend on the interest level. However, I would like to suggest that if we did start moving in this direction, that we initially, you know, look at it as a pilot project and maybe say, okay, let's start with 3 and let's see how those go. Let's get those done, regroup, see where we're at, and then with the option of proceeding on to that 10 number, if that's what the...
We have 5 unincorporated cities. I'd like to start with 5 but limit it to 1 per city to start with. And maybe some of the cities are going to say no, or some of the people in the cities will say no, mm-hmm. We don't want anything to do with it. But
you mean 5 incorporated cities? Yeah. You said unincorporated.
Incorporated.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Freudian slip. You know,
I think that's a logical way to go, but I think we also need to make sure we have the money in our budget, which I think we do, so...
Mm-hmm.
Right budget lines.
I'm sorry.
To your point, as I was reading this, ruminating over the options, and one of the things that came to mind as I went forward in the agenda was, and what's happening with our pine needle, our vegetation bin program, and where's that all headed, all things considered?
That's
and
later.
With respect to money in the budget, and you know that's a big ticket item and one of our major programs that siphons a lot of money out of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, we have the wood stove program going, we have the vegetation bins, adding this, you know, it starts to turn into real money. But if that vegetation bin program is going into a death spiral,
mm-hmm.
like something that could, you know, sort of fill the vacuum, or at least partially, in terms of projects that the district is using to put money back into the community. So
I have constituents that want the needle bin back. You know, he's calling me every day,
right,
complaining.
Right.
But if we have no place to put it, we have no place to put it.
Well, there might be other options.
My point is, does our ability to participate in this kind of, or to sponsor this kind of a program, hinge on where our other programs are going from a financial perspective? Maybe we need to know more from you about how this dovetails with our goal of putting money back into the community. If we kept the needle bin program, does this put us into a position that we hadn't anticipated financially?
Well, I will tell you, we have not budgeted any money for this program yet. So, in order to do that, we would have to make a budget transfer and draw upon that reserves. I think this program, especially starting out, you know, maybe in a pilot limited way, it could be accomplished, but I will definitely want to look very closely at where we're at budget-wise and the long-term sustainability of these programs and being able to, being able to make that budget. We're going to be talking about reserves, so this all kind of ties together. But we don't have it budgeted right now. I think we could without hurting us, but if we stacked another, half a dozen programs on top of this, then, I think we're getting into trouble. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's part of the value of having this as a pilot project and limiting. I mean, the way you've set up this potential pilot project would cost no more than $50,000 if there were up to 10,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And a limit of $5,000 per project.
Right.
So would the board rather look at our other issues like the amount of reserve and the cost of the pine needle projects and then come back at some other meeting? Or I don't know.
Or table this for now.
Table this
move
for
on
now.
On our agenda, yes. Talk about the other program, our reserve policy, and then come back and deal with this after we've chatted more about money.
I don't want to make a decision right now.
No.
Okay.
Well, you eventually want to bring this forward maybe next year, if not.
Certainly, if we continue to develop this and we've got interest.
So we're actively developing this, and it sounds like the board is interested in a pilot project, maybe as little as 3 stations to start with. That would be, what, $15,000 at that point?
That would be.
Up to $15,000, yeah.
And at that point, the energy costs would be borne by those people that take the stations on. We don't even know if people are going to snap them up. They probably will, but
I would think if you do it, I guess you could do 3, and then probably you could get
how it goes.
See how it goes, and it would be District 1, 2, and 5. No, I mean, I think if you're going to do it, you probably have to either do one for each area, one city or something like that, or not at all.
I would push for 5 to start at least.
If you're going to do it, that's equitable.
And there's the way it's laid out, there's not going to be ongoing expenses. Initial cost, basically.
A $5,000, yeah. Whatever it is.
Okay.
I think what Robin was saying, I agree with. I'd like to go over more through our agenda. I mean, either come back today or maybe another meeting.
Sure, bring this back at the end of the agenda, perhaps after we've talked about money, and then we'll have a better perspective on how it fits in with everything else.
Okay.
Okay. So let's table this item and go to the item 3.
Okay.
Smoke reduction bins.
Smoke reduction bin program. Pine needle bin program, and this is brought back today for a formal agenda item for discussion based upon conversations we've had at well, in particular the last meeting in August, but I think even prior to that. And I guess in a, you know, in a nutshell, this program has pros and cons. There's both associated with this program. And we've had it budgeted at $70,000 for each of the last 2 years. Has been well utilized. Residents have shown an interest in wanting an alternative to burning their pine needles in their green waste piles. We have noticed a reduction in smoke complaints, particularly in upcountry areas of the county, when burning is allowed. But there's been some problems with it. There has been some dumping into the bins. Some garbage has shown up, and garbage continues to show up at the processing facility where the materials are taken. Well, actually, both at the solid waste facility where it's processed, and then it goes on to the green waste facility. The garbage dump in it does cost relate to additional costs and staff resources to handle the waste. We do have issues with the bins being either overfilled so that the hauler cannot pick them up, the material's got to be pulled off, then the hauler comes back out and picks up the bin, and then the material needs to be put back in a new empty bin. Also related to that, there is a problem with materials being thrown on the ground and causing the need for district staff to go up and clean up the area. So, you know, we looked into this potential because those are some of the problems, not the least of which is the processing facility and them being able to handle the material. So we looked into going to a different facility in Sacramento. We know right off the bat the cost per ton will double from $17 to about $35 per ton. The transportation costs, I don't have that exactly calculated, but I would expect maybe all totaled it could amount to triple the cost. So with that, the program was implemented as means to utilize some of the cash reserves that has been built up over time, and this continues to be the case. However, the program's long-term sustainability also needs to be considered. So I'm looking for some direction from the board of directors here.
Well, from what you're saying, to continue doing the program, your cost would be exponential, basically.
To take the material to Sacramento? It would severely limit the program, yeah.
Jim, what if we develop some kind of biomass capabilities and just dispose of the waste here, generate electricity?
When you say we, you mean your district run a power plant?
You can run portable ones. Ever consider looking into that?
I haven't looked into this specifically, but I have looked at waste energy projects, in particular landfill gas projects. I've done quite a bit of research in that area because it's been an interest of mine with my landfill duties. Problem with our landfill is it's been closed since 2004, and the quantity and quality of gas continue to decrease, so it doesn't make it viable for a landfill gas to energy project.
Yeah, but you're going to have to start taking care of wood probably and food materials, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so if you're talking about a biodigestion type.
Well, that would be for food, but what I was saying for especially for pine needles, I mean, I would imagine they burn pretty well.
Okay. I haven't. The only experience I have, obviously, is with the Buena Vista biomass plant that's not up and running, and the pine needles, they wouldn't accept them because it wasn't an acceptable material for them to burn at the temperatures and the quality that they needed. So that was that plan.
Hard to handle, too. So, Jim, just to clarify your staff report, have we reached the point where continuing the program into next year, say, as it is currently operating, as we've come to the end of that line, do you see any facility has said, don't bring us any more, and we're done.
Yeah, we were basically cut off this year, and we had to terminate the program early. So moving into next year, and that's really where I want this discussion to kind of focus on, is next year, you know, how do we run it? And it seems as though the way we operate it with the volumes coming in, that's not sustainable for the Vicini facility. Now, could we scale down the program and potentially, because there's two parts to our program. We have the public bins on at least two locations where they're accessible 24 hours a day by anybody, no supervision or oversight. Then we have the neighborhood bin programs. And that's where we hear from a neighborhood that says, we would like a bin for our particular neighborhood. We get somebody to agree to take responsibility for the bin, to keep an eye on it, to kind of manage it. That part of the program is the other half of this program. I think that type of program could be managed, but it depends on if that's the direction.
So what happens to the needles that build up in the bin? Where do you take them?
Which bin?
The neighborhood bins.
Yeah, the neighborhood bins, we would take those in, but what I'm saying is in the absence of the public ones on Silver Drive and Pine Acres,
right,
it would be a more manageable volume of material.
So you'd be able to take it to Vicini's then, you think, at that
point? I believe so. I haven't talked to the Vicini's in the last couple of weeks, but I believe that there could be some room to take material.
I think you'd have to talk to them, because I think calling Sacramento is, I'm not sure how green that is, number one. I don't even try to reduce smoke, but I think it'd be very expensive. But yeah, I think probably I'd talk to Vicini's and see where they're at, because that's really critical to whether I'd want to go forward.
Yeah.
Any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But if we continue this program in the future, I think you have to go more structured and get away from the community bins where a lot of abuses are taking place. I mean, people have to take responsibility for it, as those private or neighborhood communities are, and I think that's the way it should be structured.
So, where does that leave us? I think I agree with Director Onetto. I was beginning to get pretty concerned about the cost of the program anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that drives the cost upward would really be a problem in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
which means hauling it to Sacramento, in my mind, at the rate we're hauling now, is out of the question for me. Vicini will take a scaled back program, keeps costs in line, will actually reduce costs overall. Need a firm answer to that question before we really know what to do.
Right, and as I said, we're talking about next year, so we do have some time. There's not the need to come up with a definitive plan today. I also wanted to mention that Mr. Molinelli is here, and he could share some information with respect to the program as ACES has their part in it. They deliver the bins, pick up the bins, and then they consolidate the materials, and then they take it on big transfer trailers over to the Vicini facility. So if there's any questions, Mr. Molinelli, I'm sure, would be more than happy to talk. But, yeah, as far as next year, we do have time before we get there.
Well, and there are also, I'm aware that my own road association has asked about limiting the time for the bins,
mm-hmm,
having spring and fall, and only for a week,
mm-hmm,
seeing if that is more manageable financially.
I think the program is really useful, especially in the upper areas, the upper country areas, and the threat of fire from these materials is a real concern, and getting people to get rid of them and not burn them, emanate their neighbor's air, I think is a big deal.
We also have, do you want to come up? Yeah, come on up.
Sure.
And Paul, if you...
Hi, Dominic Marino, Sutter Creek Fire. So a couple of things is, this is a good program that we need to somehow see if we can continue it, maybe change it to something else. We have to remember, if the bins don't collect the stuff's still there. It just doesn't disappear. So it's either going to be left on the ground to contribute more fuel to more fires, or we're going to have hundreds of little fires throughout the cities and the counties producing more pollution. So it's a problem we have to try to figure out how to deal with. I was just doing some little things here. Is I was listening to the electric car thing stuff. I'm not sure how many kilowatt hours they used in El Dorado County, but 33.7 kilowatt hours is equal to 1 gallon of gas. So maybe that's part of the decision, too, is if you put this many kilowatt hours out, you're only reducing 150 gallons of gas. Are you really accomplishing much? Whereas this issue will be here every year. It's like the seasons. Every season it happens. Every year the fires happen. Every year the pollution happens. California fires last week in 2 days produced more pollution than all the cars in California did for a year. Pollution in the Bay Area is the worst air quality they've ever had. So fire is going to produce a lot of bad air quality throughout the region. We have an older population that's very susceptible to that. We had a lot of fires this year, not in our area, but north and south of us, to produce a lot of smoke into our regions, which impacted a lot of people. This is not just an Inman County issue. This is a state of California issue that somehow we have to figure out how we can do with it. It's a matter of prevention. It's a matter of we need to burn, but we need to burn on days where we can burn lots of fuels at one time and create hot fires. If we don't go with bins, maybe there, I've talked years past about, maybe we have designated burn pile areas where we collect piles of debris and then we burn them in the winter. If you're driving up 88 right now, there's piles and piles, size of houses up there, that the Forest Service is just waiting until it rains and they're going to light those piles off. That might be another thing. I think a fire like that would produce a lot less pollution than 100 little tiny piles smoldering throughout
it. If you covered it.
If it's covered, yeah. If it's done properly, yes.
Oh, yeah. If you cover it, I mean, and burn it hot, it burn pretty clean.
It burn real clean.
What happens, people go in there, and I see it all the time, they make a pile of pine needles. Well, I'll wait till it rains, and I'll burn them.
And then it just smolders for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And those are the things we're trying to eliminate, you know, that. The other thing is we have an older population in Amador County that they used to burn, but they're not comfortable burning anymore. And I see cars, when I left here, we still have a bin in Sutter Creek because we're paying for it. We actually called the ACES, and we're paying for a bin for a couple months because it's literally getting filled every 2 days. There's so much debris because everything's falling off the trees, the leaves and everything else. It's all dry material. The rains haven't come yet. That's all stuff that can spread fire. People are just using like crazy. So we need to figure out, it's one of those programs that it's every year it's going to be here no matter what. And somehow we have to figure out how do we get from this point to the next point. And I think it's going to be something that's not just here, but state of California. I mean, the Bay Area, like you said, they had worse weather than Beijing did with the pollution down there. So it's an issue that's here. We need to figure out how to deal with it. I'm not sure how exactly to do it. But, you know, some of the things we have to look at is, does putting electric fueling stations in benefit the citizens of Amador County more than putting bins in? Now, I would say the bins benefit the citizens here more because it eliminates some burning out there. I think somebody said that there was less smoke up country this year. And I think part of that is attributed to the bins. And so I think those are some of the things as of air pollution we have to also look at is electric stations are eventually going to be here. You know, currently 1% of the vehicles in the roads in the United States are electric. That's going to ratchet up. We all know that. But those fires are going to happen every year. The debris coming off the trees happen every year. And that stuff's going to either have to be burned or it's going to be piled up and it's going to burn worse and destroy things. So it's something it's not just air pollution, but fire service, CAL FIRE, U.S. Forest Service, everybody has to get involved. This year, U.S. Forest Service finally got fed up with spending billions and billions of dollars fighting fire, and they're going to start being very aggressive at fire prevention. You're going to see more burning from them. You're going to see more cleaning, or more logging, more a lot of stuff because they're tired of the costs of fire, putting the fires out, which is after the fact rather than preventing them before. So those are the issues I have. You know, I'd love to see the bins continue. I believe our bin is very well managed. We manage our bin there in Sutter Creek. I don't think we have any trash coming in out of our bins. We also have a compactor we made up out of a truck and a piece of Culver pipe and a pallet. So we actually pack our bins. And one time I was told that when one of our bins went down there that they couldn't dump it out because it was packed so tight. But we're trying to get as much stuff in those bins as possible. So hopefully, you know, we'll figure something out for next year going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments on this agenda item?
Jim, would people actually drive their materials somewhere? I mean, I guess they're taking them to the bins. Would they drive them to a kind of a local area?
I would think so. They are taking them to the locations where we have the bins. So it seems like the biggest issue is people do not want to pay to get rid of their stuff. That's what we hear.
You know, I guess the question I have, Jim, is what's the cost per ton of the program going to the Cines? What's the cost per ton if you're going to Sacramento? Have you figured that out? Like a full, say, a pretty well-loaded dumpster?
Well, disposal cost is $17 a ton at the Cines, and it'll be approximately $35 a ton in Sacramento. That does not include the transportation costs going to Sacramento, so that's going to add $4 a mile. $4 a ton. Okay.
Additional or?
Additional.
To say it's additional, it would be less what it would cost us to go to Vicini's. So it's $4 a ton more to get there, but so it's $39 a ton we figure is going to cost us to get it there. And it costs us maybe $18 or $19 a ton to get it to Vicini's because it's a shorter run.
So $39 a ton to Sacramento.
The facility charges $35 a ton, as opposed to Vicini, it's $17.
How much does it cost to haul it over the hill like you do with the rest of the debris?
Well, we estimate to go to Kiefer Landfill, it's $4 a ton. It adds the transportation adds $4 a ton, and that's about the. A little longer to get down to, I think it's around Fruit Ridge Power Inn facility.
You said 39 to 10 to haul it to Sacramento.
Hang on. Give it to me again.
So you're saying $39 a ton hauling to Sacramento?
No, I'm saying it's $35 a ton we would pay at the gate in Sacramento.
Yeah,
we would add an additional $4 a ton to get it there.
Okay.
Total cost would be $39 a ton.
All right.
It's based on whenever we did that estimate, and it's not a recent one, but that's what we figured out it cost us to get it to Sacramento.
$39 total cost to Sacramento. Now, so would Vicini be $17?
Yeah.
Plus the $4?
Well, I don't know that it's $4 a ton to get there because it's a shorter run.
Okay, so you're talking...
Less fuel, less time.
It's $17 or $18 a ton to go to Vicini's.
Yeah, okay. If you don't mind me saying something, the dilemma, whether you have a program or not, is whether Vicini will accept it. Got to talk to him and them.
Okay.
So basically, double the cost to go to Sacramento?
Just about.
Well, that's okay.
I thought Jim was saying 2 to 3 times. So, but well, okay.
Well, depends where it goes too. By the way, there are other facilities, but that's the closest after Vicini.
Okay.
Okay. So it sounds like we, in general, think it's a good program that should be kept.
Well.
And
I'm not sure. I'm still sure at $140,000 a year, I want to keep it. If you're looking at double the cost.
Yeah. Number one, you need to talk to Vicini's.
Yep.
And you know that.
Yep.
Our next board meeting?
January.
You wouldn't restart the program until...
May.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Bring us back information in January with respect to Vicini's willingness to accept a lower tonnage rate.
Yeah, we need to know what they will accept specifically because, I know the pine needles seem to be their biggest problem from what we hear. And the pine needles are something that they could conceivably cut us off 100% from pine needles. Well, then go ahead.
Just in a conversation, we had heard that Vicini's was running out of room, out of capacity. So we called and set up a meeting with them, and really what it is they do not want the pine needles. They say they have the capacity, because we were worried if they were running out of capacity, where would we take everything that we collect from the cities included? However, what they said is just the pine needles. So as far as we're concerned, they have capacity, they just don't want the pine needles.
Yeah, the pine needles don't compost very well.
That's right. It's not a good material.
Itchy or whatever. Well, Jim, could you also look into, you know, maybe getting cap and trade funds? You know, there's funds available for doing forest work, and, you know, would this fall under that, keeping our areas free of debris and more fire safe? It could help offset some of, you know, the costs here.
Now, I don't know where you could do it. Dominic said it's kind of interesting if you had a place where people would drop it off and you had some way to cover it. If you could keep it covered until winter came, you lit a fire, for $70,000, you could probably put a little effort into something like that. That's a thought.
We have discussed the idea of larger big pile fires, and I know there was some discussion about that going against the mission of the Air District.
Okay.
So I just want to throw that out there.
Right.
I didn't think about that aspect. Oh well.
Yeah.
Well, what are other jurisdictions doing with their pine needles and this debris? Is anybody else doing anything like this?
They're struggling. From what I hear over in Tuolumne County, and Calaveras, they're really struggling trying to find some place to go. As a matter of fact, I think it's in Tuolumne County, they decided to just start accepting the material and just dumping it way off in the landfill out in the middle of nowhere in a big open area. And I think they got in trouble for that. And so they're faced with some potential fines and penalties for not handling the material appropriately. So they're struggling, but I can look some more into it.
The funny part about that is it doesn't matter if you leave it in the ground. The dump or leave it in the ground, the forest is going to rot at some point in time. But oh well.
And Jim, if you
or it'll burn to the
in
ground.
Your long range before we come back, you might explore the if we get rid of the two bad actors or whatever you want to call them, and just go with the community bins,
right?
And just see what we committed to $70,000 worth, and see with the hauling costs, assuming that Vicini, worst case scenario, won't take them.
Mm-hmm.
See how long a program we could come up with those parameters.
Right. We could determine the overall cost.
Whether it's 3 weeks or five
right.
weeks.
We can figure that out.
All right. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is I think what we have a net income per year of about $30,000. So if we're, you know, if we're spending $70,000 in our pine needle program, that means we're going backwards $40,000 a year. So we're going to blow through our reserves fairly soon. If we have any other additional programs, we're going to blow through our reserve, you know, pretty quick. So just something to think about.
And I'd also like you to investigate whether it would make more sense to just do 1 week in the spring and one in the fall, because up where I live in pine needle country, the fall is really where we have a huge mess of pine needles. especially when we've had wind like we have a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. So it sounds like we're asking you to do some more analysis.
Yeah, and as I said, we've got time, so
right.
And I can talk to the Vicinis, and we can come up with some ideas for next time.
That'd be great.
I think if we pulled the bins out of the areas that where they're getting misused and concentrate on the other areas, people are willing to drive them. They're driving them to the bins that are close. If they have to drive a little farther to dump them for free, I think it's still going to work.
Right.
So, and be monitored.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about item 4, appropriate reserves.
Okay, appropriate reserves for a special district. And this came up at the last meeting. Staff was directed to research what the appropriate level of cash reserves for a district such as Amador Air District. I included a piece of information here from Lowell Hoover Commission, Special Districts Improving Oversight and Transparency. They just happened to have a topic, the prickly question of reserves. And then on the it's labeled page 30. The second to the last recommendation, number 7, is where they discuss their recommendation with respect to it. Essentially, their recommendation boils down to, yes, special districts should have a written public policy for reserves, how they are handled, and what they will how they will be utilized. I also did an informal inquiry of the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association, CAPCOA, the rural district section, and found that there's a number of different approaches and attitudes. I found that they varied. Cash reserves for districts varied from 25% to 200% of the district's annual operating budget. However, some of the districts allowed greater reserve amounts if the reserve was earmarked for a specific purpose, kept an insulated, separate account, and the purposes that were mentioned were construction of a new office building, purchase of new vehicles, investment in equipment that was going to be used for a designated purpose. So that gives you a little background on what I was able to find out with respect to the Amador Air District. I'm recommending that we bring back to the next meeting a draft policy for you to review, and then we could work on putting that policy, approving it, and putting it into place.
I think that sounds good. Any questions from the board? I feel strongly that we should have a written policy.
Well, are we going to try to set some parameters for that draft policy? I mean, we have a lot of parameters that were suggested, anywhere from 25 to 200%.
Yeah.
I don't know what's reasonable for us.
Do we have any experience, you know, like from our finances? Have we had to dip into our reserves?
Well, I know that prior, this is predating me, and I think this may go back, I'm not sure how far some of the district directors may remember, but there was a time when the district miscalculated on budget and came up in the hole, and the district had to cut staff hours and send staff over to different departments so that there was a real problem with the district finances. Basically, the budget was wiped out. There was no reserve. So there has been a problem in the past, and that has been resolved, and actually we kind of went in the opposite direction where we accumulated a lot of cash.
Right.
So we've kind of experienced both ends of the spectrum, and what we're looking for is what works for us. You're right, Supervisor Forrester. I have 25% to 200%. I was thinking of coming up with maybe a happy medium of like 50% to 150%.
Got to be some rationale, though.
Yeah.
Our State Association of Counties has a 6-month operating reserve.
Right.
So they know they have enough money to operate for 6 months.
Well, right.
But the reserve you need is dependent entirely on the stability and volatility in your revenue stream.
Right.
If you look into history at the district's revenue stream, and if it's rock solid, it comes in the same way every year and it never changes because it's dialed into things that aren't volatile, then, you know, you don't need a lot.
Then you don't need much. And in fact, we're open to criticism if we make it too big.
But if our revenues are like PERS are based on investments and they flap in the breeze with the economy, then, you know, having a big reserve means a whole lot more in that scenario. So really it has more to do with the stability of our revenue stream than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, also the unforeseen, the one thing that you just can't count on happening, you know, what that might be.
Well,
what do other counties do?
Actually, I didn't mention it in this memo, but I did hear from at least a couple of districts that one of the most important reasons that they maintain a reserve is for lawsuits. And a lot of districts get sued for various reasons, from different organizations and different reasons, has to do with air quality, and maybe there's exceedances or some sort of something that triggers some folks to come out of the woodwork and sue these public entities like an air district. So,
like Newman Ridge, I mean, you haven't got sued, but you've got some pretty nasty letters. So.
Right. Well, yeah, and so the districts that I heard from said, oh, we believe in, and that was the one I think that had 200% of their annual operating budget, because they said that they're getting sued so often they need to, and keep in mind these are large districts, some of them are, but they keep a reserve because of the fact that their legal costs are so high.
Well, that makes sense, because you get in a legal lawsuit, even a short one, and you're spending some big bucks.
Yeah.
Well, So give us a recommendation next time. That would be great.
Sure.
Look at your cash flow. Look at your revenue flow.
And I'd say maybe
revenue
talk
sources.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's right.
I'd say maybe talk to some of their districts and see what those lawsuits cost them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the lawsuit cost you? Because don't just look at what our expenses are. See what if we have those lawsuits come down our pike.
Yeah.
You know, what it run.
Okay. Let's move to item 5, logo.
Item 5 is the APCO's update. In the first sheet, you have the top page is our current logo. The bottom is the design of a proposed logo, and I wanted to submit that to see if there was any feedback or comment. I thought that it looked pretty professional and like an upgrade to what we currently have. That's my thought, though. So I wanted to see if just generally speaking, if the group was supportive of it.
McCullough? Is that the McCullough River?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well...
No, it'd be on the wrong side of the
I don't
ground.
Know if it's on the right side or the wrong side.
I think that new one looks nice, though.
So the top one...
is what we're currently using.
Is now. I like them.
My thought on this bottom one, again, this is just the first draft of it. I was thinking of maybe doing a white background instead of the dark background that it has. So it would be a white background, and then the Amador Air District would be in dark letters. And then I thought of doing the sky perhaps in the same blue color as the water, and then softening the clouds. I thought the clouds looked a little angry.
They're a little, yeah.
They are.
A little
quite honestly.
Smoke.
I think you should take the tower out of there.
I like the tower.
We took the tower out.
On the new one, there's no tower.
There's no tower on the bottom.
I like the old one.
On the
I like
bottom,
the old one.
Yeah.
Bottom one, yeah.
I like the old one better. Take out the sun and make a complete circle.
I think you make it look the way it did naturally without the tower.
Yeah, that's what we got on the bottom one. Yeah.
But the tower's there. That's a landmark, Butte Mountain. I'd say take the top one, take out that sun. The clouds look pretty. The sun looks kind of out of place. Make a complete circle, like you have.
I think you need to have salmon jumping from the river with Pete and Catherine Bell standing next to it. So
I just think the top one looks more like air to me than the bottom looks more like a river.
Why don't you bring us back your
bring
version?
Bring us back your version.
Okay.
Your improved version. And
yeah.
I agree with you. The clouds, they look like they've got lightning coming out of them or something.
I think they're going to see
it's
you.
The river flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the bottom one looks like a river with, like Bob said, on the wrong side of the mountain.
We'll take a look at the river
okay.
and how it's flowing.
Good. That sounds good.
Okay. And so the next item is a rules update. You have a memo that was sent over with some backup information from Ray Kapai, who has been working on this rules update for a number of years, actually going back to 2010, maybe even before that. And Ray outlines the kind of the starts and the stops that have occurred over time, and some of the work products that have been developed that weren't necessarily brought forward. Then the last thing he has is a summary of rule changes. Ray has promised to bring back a final product at the end of this month that I will then bring forward to the January meeting, although there's some interest in perhaps having an ad hoc committee to maybe address this issue.
I am interested in having an ad hoc committee.
Okay.
I just want to comment that I didn't go over every single page of this, but I read some of the review and I found it really interesting that there's not been rules formed for this district in the past because the rules we had we were in compliance of, so we didn't need rules. That was kind of crazy to me. So I think it would be good to have an ad hoc committee. And I'd be willing to be on that committee. And do I have other volunteers?
Be happy to do that.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think we ought to protest to the state because we've been in compliance all these years and they keep lowering the thresholds and now they're going to put us out of compliance with the 8-hour.
That's true.
Madam Chair, unfortunately I have to leave for a meeting, but before I leave I'd like to just say that I remember distinctly the discussions we had back in April of 2013 about the rules update and what we wanted him to do and how he was going to do it. And we paid him all the money in the contract. And after going through this with a fine-tooth comb, I'm not a believer that we've gotten our money's worth. And I think he still owes us some work product, yet we're at the end of our budget, and I'm not happy about that. So what I'd like to do is propose that Chairman and I sit down with you and Ray, look each other in the eye and talk about how we got to where we are now and how we're going to get to an end point without spending any more money on this thing.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Thank you. And I apologize. I have to leave the meeting.
Okay. So is everybody okay with that? Ad hoc committee and we'll bring something here.
Sure.
Wood stove change out program.
Wood stove change out. And there's, just a brief email update. 8 installations have been completed. List of 25 is full and has been. All slots are approved and in the works. A total of $15,533 has been paid so far. So we are having a great deal of success with the wood stove program.
Great. Wonderful. Okay.
CCAT is the City County Agency Diesel Engine Program, and I know that we had some interest from Jackson, and I'll be following up with you on what you guys have going over there, but we have continued to operate this program because it was a 2-year program when we set it up, so we're in the second year of it right now. And if necessary, if we need to bring something back for January's agenda, I promise we'll get it on the agenda. But one way or another, we'll make sure we get it there.
Sounds good. Financial or any questions of the board? I didn't mean to.
Nope. And the financials, as usual, the QuickBooks printouts are in there for your review. If you have any questions, you can always give us a call, and we'll be happy to take a look at that.
Can you delete any categories out of QuickBooks, or is it this standard. Like cost of goods sold, we're not really in the business to sell goods.
Right.
Right.
So can those categories like that be deleted or not?
Or changed?
I know some of that, we had a problem with at one time because I saw something, well, for example, right below that it says gross profit. And
right.
We're not in a business of making gross profit. So,
right.
But I was told we couldn't do it. I don't know, Herminia.
Some of it all depends on which reports you're pulling. Some of them you are, but lots of the stuff in QuickBooks it's already pre-programmed in there. So regardless of, you could unclick the button, but they still come in because of the way you pull the
report.
Maybe
impossible. You may just have to leave it at zero.
Or maybe we just white it out before we...
Right. Can I make a comment on one more thing that's not on your... The fair booth?
Yes.
Can you... Those books that you had before were really popular and we didn't have any this year?
Recycle guides, yes.
But if we can get some of those again, those gave people an easy answer where to take where to take their recyclables, what days the stations are open and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Right.
Most of that online, too, or...?
We do have it online. We do have the whole book online, but, yeah.
They always look up the hazardous waste schedule.
Your computer guide. A lot of, people aren't.
A lot of people aren't, and especially up in my district.
Don't
even have computers, you know. I had a computer 3 years ago, and it broke, and I never replaced it, so...
On the door?
They're probably happy as can be.
Yeah. Correspondence?
One last update is the Air District, our little group is growing by one. Herminia is expecting her fourth child, so I just wanted to acknowledge her. And
patience.
Yeah. So she's got, what, 5, 3, 1, and 1 in the oven?
Yes.
5, 3, 1, and 1 in the oven.
Wow.
Oh. Well, I just became a grandpa today, so.
Oh, you did?
Grandpa today?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, minutes ago.
Boy or girl?
Minutes ago. Oh, that's...
Is it a boy or a girl?
Well, it's a girl, so it's about time. So. No, it's all boys. Wow.
There you go.
At the very least, you're going to have a nice-sized work crew.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
yes.
Football team.
I'm sorry, Director Forrester.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. We did say we'd go back to the electric vehicle thing. Thank you.
We did. And I had one more thing, though, under APCO's update, but I didn't put it on the list here. I wanted to mention because it just came up. This last week with the fires that have been going on, and obviously last week we were impacted by smoke. I received a number of calls from after school organizations and athletic stuff, teams, and they wanted to know if it was safe to practice outside. Well, that decision comes from the public health officer, Dr. Kerr,
right.
And I consolidated or coordinated with her on making the decision, and as a matter of fact, one day we did recommend that outdoor activities were postponed because of the air quality. And it brought up a thought that, you know, if the district at some point in the future was interested, they have these they're called EBAMs, and they're emergency monitors that are used to detect real-time values. So we were somewhat limited in the numbers we had because we just have the one location here in Jackson, and that's the states. If we were to end up getting one or two of these pieces of equipment, we could deploy them right where we want them, and we would be able to provide real-time data on what the air quality is right here in Amador County. So I just wanted to mention that as potentially coming back at another meeting.
What's the cost of them, do you know?
They're the ones that we've used and that the state has are approximately $21,000 each.
I saw them on TV, as long as you buy 10, they were $29.99.
So they're not cheap, but they're very useful pieces of equipment. And like I said, they would be helpful in this type of circumstance where we were able to deploy them.
Why don't we just let our public health officer make the decision for $21,000?
Right, so these would help her in making that decision. Yeah, okay.
Good. Do you have any... No, we're going back to the vehicle charging stations, electric vehicle charging stations.
Okay, we're going back to that.
Yeah.
I'd like to propose that we have staff work on it with the formula you put together, but I like myself the 5,000, supply the 5,000 or up to 5.
Up to 5, yeah.
With them providing their expenses and have them assume all liability, maintenance.
Right.
But I'd like to look at 5 potential stations, but no more than 1 per city.
Right.
Yep.
So go to the 5 cities, and again, this is a pilot project for
right.
us to...
That's my feeling. I don't know what...
Well, what about District 3 or 5?
No, there's not.
4?
Although I would... yeah, I would actually like to have one in the Buckhorn area somewhere. You had a couple of Buckhorn locations, just because there are a lot of travelers.
Right.
That, you know,
we're
on their way to Tahoe.
The Highway 80 corridor.
Buckhorn Plaza.
So then would you have 7 to make all that fit?
6.
6.
Well, 6. The 5 cities and 1.
And I don't know that all 5 are necessarily going to go. We could end up saying, okay, 2 cities want one and maybe
right.
Buckhorn, so we end up with 3. I'm not sure. But
maybe Pine Grove, because yeah. I mean, Giannini is right there. A lot of people right. go to Giannini. I'm trying to look for a
maybe at Pine Grove Market, you know, down the road. But, you know, this could be our first pass at it, our first
yeah.
cut.
Right.
You know, we can add more if it's a big success.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe just try the cities and leave it at that, maybe.
Well, we got...
I mean...
Yeah, I agree with that. And then kick off the program, put 5 in the unincorporated.
Yeah.
I'd like you to speak to Chamber of Commerce and gather interest, see what interest there is, but my personal feeling is the 5 cities, if we want to look at Pine Grove and Buckhorn, we can do that. Looking for destinations and...
That's what I'm thinking, I mean...
Buckhorn, where's the destination?
There isn't one.
What would people go to Buckhorn?
Well, actually,
Mace Meadows, maybe.
Store.
They're going to Tahoe.
Maybe Mace Meadows.
I think they would stop and do it.
Mace Meadows would be about
don't know
about
enough
it.
About the cars.
Coming
Mace
from
Meadows
the Bay
would
Area,
be okay
they're going
and
up
the grocery
to,
store.
Kirkwood?
Like Tahoe, Kirkwood, potentially.
But yeah, but if we're doing that, I mean, so we're giving somebody a place to stop and charge your car on the way to Kirkwood.
Yeah, we're fueling somebody's vehicle to go to Tahoe.
Well, you put a free diesel fueling station kind of up near Ham Station, so I go cut timber and get some diesel.
I think the electricity is cheaper.
Okay, do you have enough direction here?
So did we settle on the number?
No, it doesn't sound like we did.
Oh,
I would gather interest from Chamber and from some of the things I mentioned and other people.
Uh-huh.
And then at least look at the 5 cities, but if there's potential for Buckhorn or Pine Grove, but to me it's got to be something that keeps them in the want to keep them in the county.
Right. Right.
Well, I think what Richard's saying about destinations, if there's something people come in and maybe park there and shop and whatever, fine, or maybe even a golf course, maybe, but
yeah.
just go put one alongside the road. I mean, that's the case. I want to advocate for diesel filling stations too.
Mace Meadows is a good idea because they're open now for golf.
Or Daffodil Hill, folks go there only for
out in the country. Like yeah. Mace Meadows appears it might make sense. So.
Okay.
Okay, give it a shot.
Maybe Volcano. If Volcano gets a lot of people there, actually, like restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
If we go to the 5 cities as a start and one turns it down, like someone said, Amateur City might turn it down, then we could stick to a total of five would be four cities and one of the first. Since we don't really have a defined unincorporated area to start with.
I think Amador City might be more likely to take it.
Oh, I'm just saying, somebody said they weren't. I didn't know. I didn't ask.
You may be right.
All right, so stick with five.
Stick with five.
And if any of the cities say no,
stays
thanks.
In your pilot then, program.
Right. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
Any other issues? Next meeting is January 16th. Do you have any correspondence?
Don't have any correspondence.
All right. I believe we are
adjourned.
Adjourned.
Thank you.